Welcome to the Community Christian Church Montgomery podcast. We are in the first week of our series, This Changes Everything. Jesus came announcing that there was a way of living, a way of being in the world that was available to us right now. Most of us think heaven as something that begins after we die. However, Jesus doesn't talk about eternal life that way. Here is our community pastor, Mitchell Shiver.
Have you ever been so convinced that something would change everything? That happened to me way back in 2001, my sophomore year of college. Yikes. That's kind of a stark realization there. But my roommate and I were so convinced that we had found something that would help us to quickly and easily bulk up. Now, I mean, you can look at me and determine that there's nothing that helps me to quickly or easily bulk up. But my roommate Brandon and I had found the secret. We were watching TV. We saw an infomercial come on that was all about a quick and easy change. It was the Ab Force belt. And all I had to do was send $20 to P.O. Box 1234. And in just a matter of weeks, I would have rip-roaring abs, just like the guy in the commercial. I think you know how this story ends. I waited with great anticipation. I got my Ab Force belt. I tried it a couple of times and threw it in the trash. Now, I know there's some of you out there, don't act like you haven't fallen for something that you thought would change everything. How many of you are willing to admit, yeah, I have a Snuggie stored way back in the back of my closet? Okay, one honest person. Really, we can do better than two. Okay, thank you. You tried it, you thought it would cure your winter blues. Or how many of you would say, yeah, I've got a pair of blue blocker sunglasses. That's right. How could you resist? I mean, after all, Blue Blocker says that with blue blockers, the world will change and you'll never want to go back to ordinary sunglasses again. I mean, it would actually be stupid not to buy a pair of blue blockers. And so we laugh at this, but my question this morning is, why do we fall for these things? Why are we so convinced that these things will change everything? See, I think all of us are searching for something that will change everything. And it's not just in late night infomercials. I think all of us at times think to ourselves, you know what, if I can just get this job, that this will change everything. If I could just marry this guy or this girl, that this would really change everything. If we could just achieve this or achieve that as a family, then that will change everything. What happens? I think we go after these things and we think that that will change everything, and we find out that our search just continues. I think that's what the writer Henry David Thoreau was getting at when he said, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Now, I spent a lot of time thinking about the quiet desperation in my own life, in the lives of people around me. And I think that that comes down to a couple of things that we all are searching for in this life. And see if these resonate with you. I think we all are in a quiet desperation for love. Doesn't matter how many times we get dumped, we just get back up again and we continue that search for love. We are all on a quest for love. I think we also have a desperation for purpose. I think we want to know that this life that we're living makes a difference, that what we do really matters. I think we're all on a search and a quiet desperation for meaning. We all have stuff that happens in our life, and we all experience pain, whether that pain was done to us or maybe we made decisions that caused that pain. We all have that lingering question at times, of why. So I don't think there's anybody in this room this morning that would say, you know what, I don't need love. I don't really need purpose in my life, or I'm not really searching for meaning. I think we are all searching and asking those questions. And here is what well-meaning Christians and churches do next. They say, well, what you need is God. All you need is God, or maybe more specifically, what you really need is a relationship with Jesus. And while I've said that myself, and while I absolutely believe that, here's what I know to be true if we're honest. That many times we say yes to God, and we still find ourselves in that moment of quiet desperation. We say yes to God, and we still are resonating with Bono when he said, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Maybe we were baptized, or maybe we had a spiritual sort of mountaintop experience, but then soon after that, we find ourselves back in the valley again. Why is this? Why does it seem that at times the promise of love and purpose and meaning seems to go unfulfilled and seems to leave us in these moments of quiet desperation? I think that it's because we have settled for something that's far less than what God intended. I think the radical reason that we find ourselves in this position of quiet desperation over and over again is because you and I have settled for a version of Christianity that is far, far less than the version that Jesus offers us. I think that it's because we've settled for something that is far less than what God has for us. I think a whole bunch of us have bought into what I'm calling in and out Christianity. In and out Christianity is a version of Christianity, not to be confused with In and Out Burgers, which are awesome. But in and out Christianity is not so awesome. You see, because in and out Christianity still leaves me longing for something and longing and lingering with that feeling of quiet desperation. So here's a diagram to sort of illustrate. In and out Christianity, we have what's called, a sociologist call, a bounded set. Now, a bounded set is a very clear term of being in. And so to be in a bounded set, you have to meet the minimum requirements. And so if we're talking about a triangle, for example, and here's geometry. You didn't know you were going to get this morning. But to be called a triangle, the minimum requirements are that it has to have three distinct sides with three distinct angles. To be in, that's what you have to be in. Now, a circle is not a triangle. Surprise, surprise. A circle cannot be triangle-y. A triangle cannot be square-ish. It's either a triangle or it's not, right? Three sides, three angles. So if we think of Christianity as a bounded set, it's all about the boundary. The boundary is, here's what are the minimum requirements to be in. And once you are in, you are in. For example, you check the box on a survey of your preferred religion is Christianity, you're in. You say a prayer, and in a moment you pray a prayer. If you pray that prayer, then you are in, and guess what? You get to go to heaven. You take a step. You profess your faith. You're baptized even, and if you do that, you are in, and guess what? You get to go to heaven. In a bounded set, it's all about the boundary. And our goal in a bounded set, in the in and out Christianity, the whole goal is to cross the line, to cross over the boundary from out there to in here. And once I'm in here, my whole focus is on getting everybody else to cross over from out there to in here. Because after all, once you're in, you're really in. I don't think this is the version of Christianity that Jesus offers us. And that's the problem. Because I believe the in and out version of Christianity sucks all the power and promise out of the message of Jesus. And life becomes simply about crossing the boundary. And once I cross the boundary, then life is good and I'm in. And I think that we have traded the power and promise of Jesus for a life that's just about getting in. I believe that when we look at the kingdom of God and when we look at the message of Jesus, that we find that Jesus' version of Christianity, the version that he taught, is not at all like the in and out version of Christianity that many of us have bought into. That version that's all about jumping through a few hoops to get to heaven after we die. See, Mark, writing from the eyewitness account of Peter, records Jesus saying these words, Mark chapter 1. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The message of Jesus was not that this life is all about crossing the boundary and getting into heaven when you die. The message of Jesus was that there was a new way of living, a new kind of life. And this new kind of life is not just waiting for us sometime after we hit the sweet by and by. That's an old, you know, old line. But that this life was available to you and to me right now. Listen to what John Ortberg says. He said, Jesus' good news, his gospel is simply this. The kingdom of God has now, through Jesus, become available for ordinary human beings to live in. It's here now. You can live in it if you want to. So what does it mean to live in the kingdom of God? Here's the thing, every one of us has a kingdom. Your kingdom and my kingdom is simply the sphere in which what we say goes. And in our kingdom, what the things that we want to have happen, happen. Things go the way we want them to. See, God has a kingdom too. And in God's kingdom, everything that happens, happens to his joy and his delight. What God says goes. What God, in God's kingdom, what he wants to see happen, happens. And God's kingdom has love and purpose and meaning. But see, our kingdom does not. Our kingdom, we can think of our kingdom as a collection of little kingdoms, families, workplaces, nations, economic, political, and cultural systems all working together, all intersecting to make up what we would call the kingdoms of this earth. But the kingdoms of this earth aren't going so well, are they? The kingdoms of this earth are full of violence and poverty and oppression and injustice and greed and death. And God's kingdom stands in contrast. God's kingdom is full of love. It's full of purpose. It's full of meaning. God's kingdom is full of beauty. God's kingdom is so other that it stands in stark contrast to our kingdoms, kingdoms of this earth. Jesus comes into that picture 2,000 years ago and says, "The kingdom of God is near." Now things are changing. Jesus introduces this new way of living, this new kingdom that has come to earth. And the message of Jesus that the kingdom of God that's full of love and full of purpose and full of meaning has now rushed into the kingdoms of this earth. The kingdom is here. You say, wow, if the kingdom is here, then why is there still pain? Why is there still suffering? Why is there still evil? If you're saying the kingdom of God that's full of love and purpose and meaning and joy and perfection and beauty is here, then why do I look around me at my world and see all of the things that are not that? Because one day Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take the kingdoms of this earth and everything that is not aligned with the kingdom of God is going to fade away. In the shadow of his power, in the shadow of his majesty. And until that day, Jesus invites you and me to provide a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven with our life. He invites us to join him in previewing the kingdom of heaven while we're here on this earth. And here's what I'm excited to share with you. The message of Jesus and the invitation of Jesus is not about getting into heaven when we die. It's about getting heaven into us while we're here on this earth. And the life he offers us is not a thing waiting for us where we hold a ticket and one day we cash in that ticket. It's a life that is fully and readily available to us right now. So how do we find it? Jesus says in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. See, Jesus came to offer us a life that is available to us right now, a life that stands in stark contrast to this in and out Christianity that says, I just check the box, I just say the prayer, I just get my ticket to do that thing that gets me into heaven when I die. Jesus comes and says, no. This is about life here and now. The good news is that you can live it right now. And so instead of a bounded set, we would call the version of Christianity that Jesus introduces a centered set. And a centered set is all about the center. A centered set is not about whether you're in or out, or crossing the line, or crossing the boundary. In a centered set, it's all about what's at the center, and the focus is moving toward the center. And so the message of Jesus was that this life is available to us right here and right now. It's an eternal kind of life. And he invites us to orient our lives, and in many cases, reorient our lives around him as the center. And it's not about crossing a boundary from out to in. It's about moving towards Jesus. And as I move towards Jesus, I want to become more and more like him. And that invigorates me, and that drives me, and that motivates me each and every day to live my life in the way that Jesus would live. In and out Christianity is not what Jesus offers us. C.S. Lewis says it this way. He says, the world does not consist of 100% Christians and 100% non-Christians. There are people, a great many of them, who are slowly ceasing to be Christians, but who still call themselves by that name. Some of them clergymen. There are other people who are slowly becoming Christians, though they do not yet call themselves so. This is the reality that C.S. Lewis is describing. It is a centered set, that Jesus is at the center, and our lives are about orienting and reorienting ourselves to move closer and closer to him. And that's why instead of some version of in-and-out Christianity, we would call the message of Jesus and his version of Christianity apprenticeship with Jesus. An apprentice is someone who gives of their life to learn the trade of the teacher. That's what an apprentice is. An apprentice gives their life to that. They give themselves to daily learning from the teacher. It's not a static religion. It's not crossing a boundary. It's not being just in or out. It's not just holding my ticket to get to heaven when I die. It's about my life becoming more and more like Jesus. Here's what an apprentice is. I want to encourage you to write this down or snap a picture of this definition with your phone. An apprentice of Jesus is someone whose ultimate goal is to live their life the way Jesus would live if he were me. An apprentice of Jesus is someone whose ultimate goal is to live their life the way Jesus would live if he were me. And here's why this changes everything. Because as I begin to orient and reorient my life around Jesus, I experience something that is unexplainable, but that totally changes everything. That's what changes everything. When my life begins to move towards the life of Jesus, when his life begins to guide my life, when I begin to become more and more like him, that is what changes everything. Becoming an apprentice of Jesus is life-giving. And the in-and-out version of Christianity sucks the life right out of us. And there is no problem in human history that apprenticeship with Jesus cannot solve. You just name the problem: greed, fear, racism, injustice, violence, oppression, sexual assault, neglect, suffering, addiction, rejection, bitterness, violence, apathy, grief, and death. There are many problems that the new iPhone will never solve. There are many problems that education will never solve. There are many problems that more money will never, ever solve. And there are many problems that religion will never solve. But there is not a problem that apprenticeship with Jesus will not solve. That's the message of Jesus: to become his apprentice, to live our lives in a way that if he were living our life, it would look exactly like him, that we would become more and more like him. This is what changes everything. And so I want to invite you on a journey. I want to invite you on a journey over the next 5 weeks. And maybe you've realized that you've settled for a version of in-and-out Christianity. Maybe you are like feeling that something in your stomach right now. I want you to wrestle with that. I want you to wrestle with maybe that you've settled for in-and-out Christianity, and maybe you've realized that's what you've bought into. And believe me, I want to encourage you with everything I have. There's so much more to this life than just crossing the boundary. Or maybe today you're wondering if there is really a life of love and purpose and meaning available and out there for you. I want to encourage you and let you know that there is. That there's so much more to this life. So I want to leave you with two things today. One is that you would be here next week. Next week we're going to dive deeper into what does it mean to say yes to being an apprentice of Jesus. What does it mean to live as his apprentice? And next week we're going to celebrate with people who have decided to take that step as an apprentice of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, that step in baptism. And I want to encourage you, if God is leading you to take that step, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to sign up. Come talk to me. Come talk to somebody on our team with a lanyard today. That baptism is not you like getting your life all cleaned up before you come and say yes to Jesus. Baptism is saying yes to Jesus so Jesus can clean your life up. So be here next week. The second challenge is we've created something that I believe is hugely helpful to help us along the way in this journey. We've created this journal. And this journal, you can think of it as a guide. That over the course of this series, this journal is a tool available for us to each and every day consider this question of what does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus? And every day there's a scripture, there's a thought, there's some reflection questions, and there's space for you to respond just in writing. And I want to encourage you to pick one up as you leave today. There's a suggested $1 donation to help cover the cost. If you don't have a dollar, just please take one. Somebody has already been generous and thrown in $10 for those of us who maybe don't have a dollar with us. I want you to take this journal. I don't really care about the dollar donation. I want you to have this journal. And I want to say that you know what? This is something that for me personally is I have always struggled with being consistent in journaling. But I'm committing during this series, and I'm letting you know that, during this series, I'm committing to journaling along with this series each and every day. So you can ask me, hey, how's your journaling going? How's it going? What are you hearing from God? What are you experiencing? What are you learning? That's the purpose of this journal. I want to challenge you, if this is new to you, to just try this and just see what God does and be open to what God might do in your life I hope there are a number of you who would never have seen yourself journaling, but you engage in that during this series. My prayer in this series is that each of us would wrestle with this question of what does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus? I believe this series will be the most important series we've ever done here. Because what happens when individuals wrestle with that question and respond to God's invitation through Jesus to be an apprentice, what happens is that radical transformation begins to take place, not only in individual lives, but collectively in a group of people who commit to saying yes to being an apprentice of Jesus. That's what changes everything. That's what changes families. That's what changes neighborhoods. That's what changes communities. When people begin and commit to live their lives in the way that Jesus would live if he were me, what a powerful thought. That is what changes everything. It's a life that's not available as a late night infomercial making empty promises. It's a life that is available to you and to me right here, right now. Heaven starts now. Will you pray with me? Father, we are all searching for something that changes everything. But God, we know that that search continues apart from your son Jesus, apart from life with him that is available to us right here and right now. That the message of Jesus is that the kingdom of God is here and it can be lived right now. So God, give us the faith to respond to that, to step into a life with Jesus, to be radically transformed by him. To trade in this version of in-and-out Christianity for a version of life that Jesus offers us that is rich and full and participatory and invigorating. That's the kind of life that you offer us. God, help us to grasp it. We ask for help in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Service times are Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at communitychristian.org/Montgomery.